let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Smithsonian Channel takes us into the bedchambers, back rooms, private spaces of some of the most influential monarchs in British and French history, revealing the hidden secrets and illicit stories of history's royal figures in the five-part series Private Lives of the Monarchs, the nitty-gritty, down-and-dirty, outright strange about the most iconic rulers of our history books. Hosted by Tracy Borman, Joint Chief Curator of the Royal Palace, a best-selling author, historian specializing in the Tudor period, rising to fame with her bestseller Elizabeth's Women, other books The Private Lives of the Tudors and Henry VIII and the Men Who Made Him. Her debut novel, The King's Witch, published last year. Her second novel, The Devil's Slave, will be out this June. A regular TV broadcaster, she's presented three series inspired by her research into the private lives of historical figures, and now host of Private Lives of the Monarchs, premiering on Smithsonian Channel Monday, May 20th, 8 Eastern Pacific, and Tracy Borman with us on This Week in America. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be with you.
I'm looking forward to this series. This really is a different look, isn't it, at some of history's most famous royal figures not found in the history books. You really give us a unique look at these personalities.
Absolutely. It's these famous monarchs as really you've never seen them before, because monarchs throughout history have been very good at what we might call PR. They're very good at presenting their public image and hiding their nastier habits from the world. What this series does is to lift the lid on those habits and more besides. And so to show the monarchs as humans, because they were just humans after all, if that's not just stating the obvious, but we do tend to forget that. We see them as semi-godlike figures, but there's none of that in this series. We take viewers behind closed doors to discover the real people behind the image.
Yeah, lifting the lid, you actually blow the lid off on some of these. This is just fascinating. And if there ever was a monarch whose image was fixed in public imagination, it was Queen Victoria. You start with her. Give us a little bit of what we're going to see in the premiere episode.
So Queen Victoria, if you think of that name, it tends to be in relation to the British Empire. She's obviously head of the British Empire. She's very prim and proper, behaves, you know, impeccably in public, and sets the moral standard for the Victorian age. But goodness me, how different in private. When in private, Victoria's secret habit was a cocaine habit. And she took her cocaine in the form of chewing gum. This is how they took it in those days. It was a habit shared by many of the richer members of society, and Victoria was first among them. So it's rather shocking. It certainly shocked me to discover this, but it wasn't covered up in so much as you might expect. It was just a recreational drug. It was freely available, but essentially it was expensive, so it's something of a status symbol. If you could afford cocaine chewing gum, then you'd made it in life, and Victoria certainly could afford a ready supply.
Well, you take a look at the men in her life too, and this is fascinating, including this interesting relationship with her son Edward.
Oh, fascinating relationship with her son Edward, who was really a bit of a royal rebel. So Edward was the eldest son of Victoria, and so therefore the heir to her throne. But his habits were also rather naughty, not so much with drug abuse, but with mistresses. Edward did like the ladies, and he spent an awful lot of time in the brothels of Paris. Now, one of the most memorable parts of filming this series for me was recreating Edward's use of a sex chair. And this was a piece of furniture that he became very fond of when he put on a bit of weight. And without going into too much detail, this chair helped him to perform despite his girth, his growing belly. I was literally standing in his footsteps and not obviously fully reenacting what he might have got up to, but imagining. And I have to say that memory has been imprinted on my brain. I think even if I wanted to get rid of it, I wouldn't be able to. It was quite a moment.
Once you see it, you can't unsee something like that. We're talking about Smithsonian Channel Presents The Private Lives of the Monarchs, premiering Monday, May 20th, 8 Eastern Pacific. Tracy Borman is the host, the Joint Chief Curator of the Historical Royal Palaces. You'll also go in-depth one of the episodes on Henry VIII, and he's probably England's most famous monarch, a famous subject of yours. Talk about Henry VIII and some of the things. This guy was a complex individual, wasn't he?
Very complex. When you say Henry VIII, you tend to think of a sort of tyrant who dispatched wives and ministers on a whim. In fact, the real man was very different to that. He was a lot more vulnerable in private. One visitor who to his privy chamber described Henry VIII as being the most timid man you could hope to meet. Well, goodness me, that's not a description we often hear. Why was he timid? He was a hypochondriac. He was absolutely paranoid about sickness. He had his own medicine cabinet containing various potions that he himself had made up. He was paranoid about getting ill or those he loved getting ill. He was also afraid of assassination. He was paranoid about potential traitors in the court, and he had some of the most embarrassing health complaints of all the monarchs that we looked at in this series. So it was an altogether different Henry who I was able to uncover in this episode. And I was delighted to do so because I am actually first and foremost a Tudor historian. My new book is about Henry VIII and the men who surrounded him. And so to really get under his skin in this way was a journey of discovery for me.
You also do, and this guy's fascinating, King Louis the 14th. You did a little traveling to go behind the scenes. Here's a guy we tend to forget. He reigned for, 72 years?
Yeah. He was still is one of the longest reigning monarchs in the world, and known as the Sun King. He is a glorious figure of kingship, and yet scratch beneath the surface once more, and it's a different picture. And with Louis, it's not a particularly pleasant smelling picture, should we say, because Louis,
yes,
in the whole course of his very long life, only took a bath three times. Three baths in his whole life. That was very, very typical of the rest of his court. So the place must have stank to high heaven. His place, of course, was Versailles, one of the most magnificent palaces in the world. And as well as being filled with malodorous people, Versailles had thousands of rooms. Not one of those was a toilet. No toilets in Versailles. The result of that was that people there would just relieve themselves where they could. Fireplaces, behind curtains. Louis liked to keep lots of dogs. You can imagine. It must have been a stinking cesspit of a palace. Little wonder that they spent the equivalent of millions of pounds every year on expensive perfumes just to try and cover it up. I can't imagine they were very effective.
No, and as I said in the beginning, this is not something you remember from World History 101. This is a different look at the monarchs that we're talking about. And when you think back with Louis's reign, what, he was like 4 years old when he assumed that?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he was just a baby, really. He was a tiny, just a very young child. And suddenly he had the weight of kingship on his shoulders. And of course, that's why he becomes one of the longest reigning, because he started so young. And what that did to his psyche, when you are born to rule, when it's all you've known, people, bowing to you from a very young age, there's no wonder he becomes a little bit arrogant. He becomes a man who likes the finer things in life. He had a collection of over 1,000 wigs because he was very conscious of his baldness. He also had 400 beds, just his beds. 400 beds to choose from. Which bed should I sleep in tonight? It must have been a constant dilemma for him. I mean, really, the riches are beyond the imagination when it comes to Louis.
When you think he went from daycare right to the palace, I mean, an interesting story, and you'll see it unfold on Smithsonian Channel presenting The Private Lives of the Monarchs, Mondays, 8 Eastern Pacific, hosted by Tracy Borman. One episode with George III and the Prince Regent. This is interesting, this dynamic between father and son.
Isn't it? They were, great contrast. You have the very proper, upstanding father, very moral, faithful to his wife, had many children by her, and then you have the disreputable son who absolutely indulges his every whim, from women to food to wine to gambling. And little wonder that father and son came to lock horns. They grew to absolutely hate each other.
You'll find all of this, Private Lives of the Monarchs, on Smithsonian Channel Monday, 8 Eastern Pacific. Tracy Borman, the best-selling author, guest on our program today. You have a student of history. You've taught history. You have a PhD.
Yes.
As you're going through all of these stories, were you even amazed at what you found about some of these people?
Oh, I am constantly amazed, because I've studied these monarchs for many years. And most of what I've learned has related to their public image, their public actions, the great events of their reign, not so much what happened behind closed doors. And I found out a whole series of things. And actually, the episodes that I enjoyed filming most related to those monarchs who I haven't studied so much. So George III, for example, or Queen Victoria. It's mainly the Tudors that I've looked at. But it gave me a whole other appetite for different periods of history as a result of filming this. And I really hope that it excites viewers as much as it did me.
Well, it's going to do that. And again, Private Lives of the Monarchs on the Smithsonian Channel, Mondays, 8 Eastern Pacific. Tracy Borman, a couple more minutes left with Tracy on the program. When you go back and you find out all of this and you realize, of course, I think you did anyway, know that these people were flawed from your research, but the average person watching and realizing, as you said, they're just like us, they're flawed people. What does that do to public perception? Does that change dramatically, or we just realize, okay, they were flawed, but they still have their prominent place in history?
I think it's the latter, and I think it actually gives you a new sympathy and a new understanding for people. So when you look at Henry VIII, he's seen as a tyrant, a monster, dispatching his wives without a thought. But when you look at what he's suffering in private, with bouts of depression, with an incredibly painful ulcerated leg for about a decade, with his weight gain, it gives you a whole other insight into why he is behaving the way he is in public. And I did end up feeling a lot more sympathy for these figures, and actually it makes them more relatable. So perhaps, I think, you know, there is a certain extent to which we need monarchs to be untouchable. We need to believe in the myth. But actually, when they're behaving badly in public, when you look at what they're going through in private, you definitely get them a lot more. You get a new understanding, a new sympathy for them.
Did they ever get plumbing in the palace in Versailles? I'm concerned about that, where they had no restrooms there. Have they ever taken care of that?
I'm very, very pleased to tell you they did, because we filmed there, and, you know, I didn't have to walk 3 miles to find the nearest toilet, so it was all good by now.
Yeah, having a porta-john out front of the Palace of Versailles is probably not the look they're after, so I'm glad they have that taken care of. Tracy Borman, our guest on the program, joint chief curator of the Historical Palaces. Check out all of her books. Her TV series is Private Lives of the Monarchs on the Smithsonian Channel Monday, premiering on Monday, May 20th, 8 Eastern Pacific. Tracy, great having you with us on the program. Thank you so much. We'll be watching the series.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.